Janie Lee Grace. Welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio. Hi, and welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show. It's Janie Lee Grace with you, and we've got our third week in our craving freedom from craving series. I was going to say craving freedom from freedom, but we don't want that. Freedom from craving series coming up with Dr. Bumi Abo-Abo. I've been getting such a great response to those tips because let's face it, who doesn't want, you know, great ways to just affect their mindset and just do whatever they can to be in control of what's going on rather than letting other stuff define you. So we've got that coming up in a while. And that fits really well, actually, with my guest today. I'm so pleased that I'm going to be chatting with Dr. Tom Waller, one of Europe's most exciting and dynamic chiropractors with a purpose to inspire, educate and serve. We're going to find out a little bit about Tom's work. I was particularly interested to find out that, you know, alongside that work, you know, he really talks a lot about stress and resilience. So it fits in really nicely with what we've been doing in the last few weeks on this show. Welcome, Tom.
Great to see you, Janie. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, lovely to chat to you. So I've only just come across the work that you do. And I'm going to be really, really honest. I don't think I've ever been to see a chiropractor. Isn't that a thing? I mean, I've seen the osteopath and I've definitely had Bowen and a lot of other kind of alternative things. But for anybody else who's like me and doesn't quite know exactly what a chiropractor does, can we start there?
We can start there, and it's not your fault. It's the fault of my profession for not putting ourselves out there. We're actually the third largest healthcare profession in the world.
Wow.
But in the UK, we're a little bit behind the times. Chiropractic is a profession that really concerns itself with allowing the body to optimize and function at its best, with a premise and an understanding that the body is designed to be healthy and its natural propensity is towards healing. And the work we do is not to fix or cure anybody of anything, but to remove anything that's interfering the body's ability to do that itself. And in a very simple explanation, we know that the thing that controls everything in our body is our brain. And the way the brain gets every communication message to the rest of the body is through the spine and the spinal cord. So any interference in your spine or spinal cord will affect how well your body's functioning. And a chiropractor's job is to find that and remove it.
Wow. Okay. So how does that differ then from something like osteopathy?
So it would be not fair of me to comment on exactly what osteopathy is because I'm not an osteopath. But my limited understanding is an osteopath works similar, but more with the blood flow of the body, and chiropractors work more with the nervous system of the body.
Okay. Tell us a bit about the work that you do then, because, you know, I know that for you, it's far more than just doing that work, isn't it? You've brought in many other kind of facets to the health picture.
Yeah. I mean, my passion is to just help people thrive. I see a world that has so much potential to be well. And I see the majority of us looking up and barking up the wrong tree with trying to fix or cure countless numbers of ailments when really all we need to do is focus on ourselves. The only person who can get us better is us. And I see the work that I do is to empower people to figure that out, to find out how they can help themselves, you know, highlight and work with what I call the doctor within, the one that can fix and cure ourselves naturally. So I have a practice and I have associates working with me, and we take care of thousands of people in our local area. But I'm also blessed to be able to speak around the world and mainly to audiences around stress and resilience and how they can get their body working better.
I'm guessing there's some kind of personal story here that, you know, that got you into all of this. Are you willing to share anything?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there really is. Try and cut a long story short. Years ago, from the outside, if you looked at my practice and my life, it looked like I was achieving really great success with having one of the busiest practices in Europe, being on a plane most weekends, speaking around Europe, speaking around the world. And from the outside, it looked like I got everything down and everything successful. But on the inside, things weren't right. Long story short, I ended up with pre-cancer in the bowel. And it made me stop, pause and consider, you know, am I really living the truth that I'm speaking? And through inspection and consideration, I chose to figure out why that was happening, not just think what is happening and treat that with a conventional approach, but think why did that occur in the first place? And in addressing that and turning my life around, it's really thrived not only my family life, my practice life, my businesses, but my joy and my happiness and my time on this planet.
Mm. What did you discover then?
I discovered, I think, the root of all illness is an incongruency. An incongruency in terms of us showing up as our authentic selves. You know, we so often put on this mask. And we spoke about this recently when I interviewed you on sobriety. Mm. You know, that alcohol can be that mask for people when the true person comes out, when we don't hang on to those crutches. And I think life is set up in such a way that we try to be something that we're not. And quite often our greatest gift is sitting right behind our biggest fear. And if we just lent into that fear that all of us have and avoid, there's a beautiful life that awaits us on the other side.
Mm. And then, I mean, I'm guessing there'll be people listening who think, well, okay, that's all very well, but if you've got, you know, precancerous cells, I'm guessing you're going to have to, you know, look at your diet and that kind of stuff. So where does all of that fit in for you, that kind of basic healthcare piece?
100%. At the end of the day, the awkward thing that we have in healthcare and when people start to get a little bit defensive is because the buck starts and stops with us or them. You know, it's on us and nobody else. So when it comes to health, there's only three things that can really make us sick and only three things that can make us well. Health has been turned into this multifaceted, complex thing when really it's not. It's a very, very simple art. The human being is designed to be healthy, and the three things that can cause us to be sick are the same three things that can cause us to be well. It's very easy to remember because it begins with the same letter, T. My name's Tom, if you ever forget that. The three T's: thoughts, traumas, and toxins. Thoughts, traumas, toxins, physical, chemical, and emotional stress simply is all we need to focus on to regain health or maintain health.
Mm. When we talk about the toxins part, then let's just talk about that for a moment. I mean, obviously, in your profession and anyone who's in the medical profession, and I'm guessing in your training as well. I mean, I don't know for sure. I'd be interested to know. But I'm guessing that your training in the work that you do is not a million miles away from a GP's in that you don't focus on nutrition. That's not usually part of it. Or am I wrong?
I'm afraid you're wrong, Janie. So my profession is a drug-free profession. We help people without drugs or surgery. And we do have a big focus on nutrition.
You do? That's fantastic to hear. That's great. Good.
So, you know, and it's interesting. The training is similar to a GP in the fact that it's a primary healthcare profession, which means you're fit to diagnose anybody who walks through the door. Mm. But we take a very much a natural approach. So you have to look at someone's nutrition. You have to look at how well someone's moving. You have to look at how people are thinking. You have to look at how well their nervous system is firing.
Right.
To achieve optimal health, you can't just focus on one simple facet of their health.
Mm. I mean, I guess you would agree that you know, one of the issues that, you know, I know we're talking about terribly basic stuff here, but, you know, one of the issues that confronts us all is that, you know, in order to sort of face up to those toxins, you know, we have to dig a bit deeper, and that's probably in the literal sense, because, you know, the soil isn't that great either, let alone the choice of food that isn't really food. So, you know, there's kind of a lot of layers to this, literally, isn't there?
A huge amount of layers to this. And I love you mentioned the soil there. The original debates about, you know, how the body becomes sick, and, you know, is it viruses, is it a host? Mm. And it's Louis Pasteur on his deathbed, who was the known to be the founder of germ theory, denounced his life's work and said, no, it's not the seed, it's the soil.
Yeah.
It's the human body. And you're right. Like, I have a book behind me. It's written by a GP. I think it was in 1810. Mm. And there's no mention of the word organic in there because it wasn't a thing back then.
No, because, well, they didn't need to be because they didn't weren't spraying everything with shit,
exactly.
Were they?
And I live in Lincolnshire, and, you know, we have spray clouds every weekend. But wow. There's a lot you can, there's a lot you can do, because, you know, when it comes to nutrition, there's two things. There's either a deficiency or toxicity. Mm. And unfortunately, where we are, we have a huge deficiency, We have a huge toxicity. We are overfed, massively undernourished.
Yeah.
You know, and we have political campaigns trying to feed poor people who are paying for extra calories to be given to them. But unfortunately, the extra calories come in the form of really unhealthy foods.
Mm.
And that short-term fix is causing a huge long-term headache on the health service down the line. So
yeah,
it's a deep world and it's a difficult world.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're probably on the same page here. So, you know, when you do encounter someone then who is, you know, new to all of this, as it were, all things being equal, how are you going to advise them to make a start? I mean, is it as simple, in inverted commas, as saying buy the organic food that you can afford, you know, grow your own where you can? Where does one start if they, you know, if you want to sort of get some of these basics right?
My start would be to simply inspect your life with those three T's, the thoughts, traumas and toxins.
Mm.
Understand that high tides raise all boats. So you go down to the harbour and the tide starts to rise, every boat starts to lift.
Yeah.
And if there's one of those three T's, thoughts, traumas or toxins that you're struggling with, you can double down on the other two and by proxy it will naturally improve the one that you struggle with. So maybe you do struggle financially to be buying organic food all the time. So focus in on the thoughts that are in your life, the how you're setting up your day. You look at the Buddhist monks. They start the first half of their day putting their armor on, the second half of their day in service of others, which means they take time to work on themselves first.
Yeah.
You look at the traumas, which means how well are you moving? How well are you exercising? The human body is designed to move 10 kilometers a day. These 10,000 steps came from a pedometer company back in, I think it's an Olympic Games in the 60s.
Mm. You know, I've always wondered about that, actually. You do buy that theory, do you? 10K a day?
There's no research behind it at all. Well, the 10K, yeah, the human being is designed to move, yes.
Mm, mm,
human being is designed for locomotion, but this 10,000 steps thing is just, it's a good target, but it's an ethereal number.
Right.
But in terms of our nutrition, if we just focus in on that, the simplest thing that we can all do, and one of the biggest precursors to chronic disease in the Western world is dehydration.
Yeah.
So if we simply start to drink more water, that can start the process of improving, that it can start to improve our digestion, which means the food that we eat, although it may not be the best quality, we're going to absorb the most amount of nutrients possible from it. Mm. Exercise and movement aids assimilation. So it's not just what we eat, it's how our body assimilates it, how it turns that food into cells. And having a good mind, having a good hydration, having good movement can improve that.
Mm.
And if you're going to be picky about your organics, then start at least with your root veg being organic.
Yeah, there's a kind of dirty dozen, isn't there, that people talk about, the things that you really do want to try and get organic.
Yeah, exactly. And then again, like, reduce your portions. We don't need to eat so much.
Mm.
And I don't necessarily think it's a lot more expensive to eat well.
Mm.
I think we just have to prepare more. We have to be thinking in advance, cooking bigger meals, preparing for the week instead of just eating on the fly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess in your work, you know, you've seen literally transformations, you know, with people who have come in with whatever, you know, injury in inverted commas, or, you know, not being able to move certain parts of their body, and then literally by the work that you do and a change of diet, things are transformed.
Yeah, people's lives change. I mean, we have to, the only thing we have to consider is time, is giving it enough time.
Mm.
We live in a world that wants a quick fix, but if you look at the human body, we said at the start of the show, the human body heals itself. I mean, simple way you can think about this, right now in the UK, the sun's coming out. So I'm a fair skin. If I go out in the sun right now, I'm probably going to get burned.
Mm.
Now that burn on my arm, skin's going to peel off. And if I rubbed my arm and kept rubbing my arm, I'm not going to worry that I'm going to form a hole in my arm, because new skin, new cells are going to start to form. The same is true in our body, in our gut, a digestive system. As it pushes fecal matter through, cells rip off with it, but new cells form. The same with the heart. As it beats, some cells rip off with it. It doesn't implode, new cells form. And the body's constantly doing this at a remarkable rate. I mean, if you take the small intestine, You'll have a completely new one in 2 to 4 weeks' time. The whole thing will be completely new in 2 to 4 weeks' time. But if we take the entire human body, the organ system, it's about 18 months. And the human body, it's about 7 years. So if you really, really want to change how your body is working, you have to give it at least 18 months for it to really change.
Yeah, I think we've often got a mentality that means, you know, I literally want it sorted within a week, please. Exactly. I know when people stop drinking, you know, they're like, oh my God, it's been 3 weeks and I'm still not sleeping well and I haven't lost weight and, you know, stuff's not happening yet.
Yeah, but this is it. Like, change can be profound. Like, there is a case of someone healing from every single condition under the sun. And if one person can do it, why can't another? And it's just being prepared to make the change and do it for a long enough period of time.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself on the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchsip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% using the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchsip.co.uk because nothing's better.
The station that makes you feel good.
What do you think? What's your view? I don't know why it popped into my mind, and there's no reason why you should have a view on this, but I'd just be interested to know what you think about women hitting the menopause. It's something that very many of my clients are going through. And well, for starters, there's no doubt that take alcohol out of the picture and it can help tremendously. But what else do you think about menopausal issues for women? Because I have heard the theory that actually we don't have to go through a whole load of stress at that time.
Great question. I'm not an expert, but one of my very good friends is one of the foremost experts in the world. So I'm going to recant maybe some of the stuff that she's taught me over time. Menopause simply is a retrospective diagnosis of 12 months, no period. So essentially what that means, it means you haven't had a period for 12 months, so therefore you've gone through the menopause. Menopause is not, it's not a collection of symptoms. It's not a syndrome whereby you're getting hot flushes or you're having fatigue. It's not that collection of symptoms. So I can't remember what the term is, but they almost, there are cultures that talk about the menopause being a rebirth, and it actually has the potential to be the best time of your life, because up to menopause, hormones are cyclical in a woman's cycle, so they're going to go up and down. Now, when you hit menopause, the lower reproductive system stops producing those hormones, and it moves up to the brainstem. And instead of it being cyclical, it becomes constant. So you have the potential to constantly regulate and have a balance in your hormone levels. So really, if we're working in congruency with the human body, it has the potential to be a beautiful time of a woman's life. But like most things, we start trying to do something about it when it's a problem, when we should have been doing something years before to lead up to it. And that's my take on it. But if you can live your life as naturally as possible, I mean, and the biggest one really will be stress responses, changing your cortisol levels and therefore changing your precursors to the rest of your hormones, is really going to help you.
So tell me a bit about how we do that then for someone who, you know, again, this might be the first time that they've really thought about this, and particularly if someone's very stressed, if they're the kind of person who almost defines themselves by being stressed. What do you recommend first? How can everyone begin to take back some control?
So stress is Stress is fantastic, and the it's such a murky thing. And if I asked you to define stress, you'd define it differently to someone listening right now. And when we can't define what it is, we can't do anything about it. It's like asking me to think of a color that you've never seen before. It's an impossible thing to do. So we ruminate on this word and this thing, stress, and it just becomes more stressful as a consequence.
Yeah.
And then we have this whole industry that's set up on, oh, well, let's just teach you to reduce and manage your stress. And I call BS on that every single time. A lot of the work I've done has been with the emergency services. And if you go into them and say, look, guys, you just need to reduce your stress today.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
And the same for, you know, for a single mother or for someone caring for their elderly parents. You cannot take away the stress. So what we need to think about is how can we become more adaptable? How can we adapt to the stress? Because that's what human beings are designed to do. If you go to the gym, you get stronger in adaptation to the stress. If you start to move your body more, you adapt to the stress. If you start to read more, you adapt to the stress of finding it difficult, and it becomes easier. So if you go back to those three T's I spoke about earlier, the thoughts, the traumas, and the toxins, they are the areas that have the potential to put stress onto the human body, because stress is not just mental, it's physical and it's chemical. So if we can build a body that's more resilient, that has the ability to adapt, then we can really improve. And then that also goes back to what I said earlier about the Buddhist monks. We have to be selfish in our approach to our health, and we have to take care of our health first. There's a great philosopher, Ayn Rand, and she said, take care of me for you, and
yeah,
take
I love
care
that.
Of you for me. It's that selfish approach first. So the simple start that I would do for people is to think about some kind of morning routine by which you bring in an emotional ritual, be that stillness, be that meditation, be that breath work being the most powerful thing that you can do to reduce your sympathetic stress response. Bring in some movement, whether it's just jumping up and down in the living room, walking around the block, or something more exertive, and flush your body with water. As simple as that start in the morning can change the physiology as it moves into the day and make you more resilient and adaptable to stress.
I mean, I think that, you know, I think you're right. It doesn't have to be one prescriptive thing. I think when people kind of, I know for years for me, I kind of heard the message, oh, you need to meditate when you wake up. And I just couldn't, you know, I was locked into, you know, waking up, hating myself for having been drinking too much. So I certainly wasn't authentic enough to do that. But I found that I couldn't, in inverted commas, meditate. I had 1,000 shopping lists. It just didn't work for me. So I ended up doing nothing. And I now realize that, you know, what would have been so much more beneficial is if someone had said to me, okay, so just, you know, go and stand with your feet on the earth and take some breaths, or you know, there's a variety of ways to do this stuff, isn't there?
There is, and that's exactly what my morning routine is every morning. Barefoot, bare-chested outside on the earth, you know?
Yeah.
Fortunately, I'm up before the neighbours, so no one has to deal with that. But these simple things that people think are crazy are just simple things that the human being is designed to do.
And whereas, you know, the problem, of course, is that if we're not careful, what happens is we simply, you know, wake up, you know, probably already feeling tired, immediately a whole load of negative thoughts. Oh, my God, I've got that to do and that to do. Oh, God, I forgot to do that yesterday. You know, all the negativity comes rushing in. Then you open up your goddamn phone and start doom scrolling, and you've got all the hideous misery of you know, all the doom that everyone wants you to take in. And before you know it, you're into a completely negative spiral, and you've only been awake 10 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, if you're struggling with the meditation, I mean, the phone thing just should be out of your life for the first hour of the day. But there's one thing I say to myself every single morning when I wake up, and it's, today's going to be a great day.
Yeah,
and it's the first thing. It's the first thing that comes into my mind because it's been programmed.
Yeah,
and I love every listener to this to try it tomorrow morning. And you might think I'm crazy, but no one has to know you're doing it.
No, exactly.
So you can try it, and the first thought may be, crikey, it's Monday and I don't want to get up, but then just go, today's going to be a great day.
Yeah. I love the Zig Ziglar thing about Zig Ziglar says you sit on the edge of the bed and you clap three times and say, goody, 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 what's today got in store?
Yeah, and I probably...
Which will make you laugh every time, won't it?
If I did that. But, you know, there's simple things that one can do. And, you know, we really are at a point, I believe, in the Western world, in terms of our health, where we have to start thinking differently. Mm. And we have to be prepared to try things that we might think, oh, a bit weird and different. Mm. But if you actually sit back and think about it, the way we're approaching health right now is very weird and very different from what a human being is designed to have.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I think we just need to take back our sovereignty and our control of our own health.
Mm, yeah, I agree. So I know that you, you have your podcast, of course, the Tom Walker podcast, and founder of the Adjusting Skills and Certainty, ASC. Tell us a bit about that work then.
So that's really for... chiropractic practices and sort of well-being practices. I essentially my mission is to help more people live a life that's healthier. Yeah. And if I can help practices improve and individual practitioners grow, then that's my mission. And I put on seminars and events and coach people within the well-being industry on that front.
Mm, I love that. Well, we definitely need a lot more of that, don't we? So I love this, Tom. We could talk for hours. But so we've got our three T's, which is really important. And that's great. And we've got a sort of a bit of a tip for a morning routine. Just back on what we were talking about earlier. I'm interested in this, what you were saying about, you reminded me of something I've not thought about for ages. So this, you know, the environment is key thing. You know, you talk about the Louis Pasteur thing. What's your belief then in terms of why people, in inverted commas, catch colds if they do?
Because their body was ready to receive it. So your body is designed to be healthy and well. And if you've neglected the natural living of a human being, your body will be more inclined to become sick. So if you have been eating poorly for a period of time, then you're going to increase inflammation within the body. You're going to reduce the good bacteria in your gut and therefore reduce and lower your body's response to pathogens. If you're thinking negatively, causing a stress response, we know that stress lowers our immune system. If we're sedentary and not moving, then we're not flushing or removing toxins from the body. So again, we're more prone to become sick. Mm. So the main thing is to live by natural tenets of the body to naturally move. And, you know, I see it as no coincidence when I look around people like myself, my wife, and people in my profession who've been taking care of thousands of people throughout the pandemic, and not
perfectly well. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, you mentioned there, you know, some gut bacteria and stuff like that. I'm guessing you would recommend that some people take supplements because of where we started this conversation. The soil's not always perfect. Even if you're getting great organic veg or whatever, you're probably not getting everything you need. So would you recommend supplements for most people?
I would, because we don't have the good nutrition, but you cannot supplement a bad diet.
Mm, true. Yeah.
Again, the supplements like the probiotic industry has become so big now.
Yeah, true.
It's not necessarily everything it's cut out to be.
Mm. Well, a lot of probiotics don't actually thrive once they get to the stomach acid, do they?
So, well, exactly.
So it's a very expensive thing to...
Yeah. It's true, but there has been some amazing, amazing studies on... There was a study on schizophrenic rat. They took the fecal matter of a schizophrenic and put it inside a rat, and it exhibited exhibited the same characteristics, and they repeated that study to the same effect. So we know that the culture within the gut has an effect on how the body and the brain is working.
Absolutely.
But we need a diet that's got some good prebiotic in it, and is minimal in things like wheat, dairy, and sugar.
Mm, Yeah, absolutely. Wow, we could talk forever. Tell us just a bit about how people can find you and find more about the work that you offer.
Yeah, absolutely. So the main work I do outside my practice is very much a family practice, and we serve our local community. But outside of that, I do a lot of work on resilience and performance with businesses and companies, both public and private sector. The best way to find out more about me is tomwaller.co.uk or Tom Waller on Facebook is probably the easiest way to find out more about me. Or Dr. Tom Waller on Instagram, and then reach out and I can see how I can help.
Brilliant. Tom, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. You've been a fantastic guest, and thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for everything that you do to help so many people.
Oh, thank you. So let me take you into our clip from Dr. Bumi Abuaba.
The station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself on the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchsip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% using the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchsip.co.uk because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hello, this is Dr. Bumi, the food addiction coach, bringing you the third of a four-part mini-series of tips and ideas around beating food cravings to gain a healthy relationship with food, get your power back and thrive. This week is Be Your Own Superhero. That's right, let's get your cake ready. Last time we talked about getting a better mindset to achieve a more balanced and healthier feeling around food. To maintain this, though, we need to do a little bit more inner work, so when days get a little challenging and stressful, we're not thrown off balance and self-sabotage our new eating habits. With emotional eating and binge eating, which is on the rise, by the way, it's not the food that's the issue, it's the mental and emotional aspects of a person that is. With addictive eating or food addiction, it's primarily the addictive, highly processed food that cause brain changes. So what steps can we take to keep as stress-free and emotionally as well as possible? Let's look at triggers, factors that trigger cravings and non-hunger eating. Apart from ultra-processed foods which trigger the brain and set off a binge, there are also trigger environments and feelings. Trigger environments could be going to a social event where there's lots of your special foods that you know you won't be able to stop eating if you start. A trigger feeling could be feeling angry after having an argument with your partner and you want to dumb down the emotion by eating. I'm going to give you a couple of on-the-spot techniques that will help you in times like these. Make sure you practice them daily so that when you have an emergency, you automatically know what to do. The first one is the 4-4-4 technique or box breathing. Step 1, breathe in counting to 4 slowly. Step 2, hold your breath for 4 seconds. Step 3, slowly exhale through your mouth for 4 seconds. Step 4, repeat steps until you're feeling recentered. The second one is the stop technique. That's yes, S-T-O-P. Stop. S equals stop. Stop what you're doing, press the pause button on your thoughts and actions. T, that equals take. Take a few deep breaths to center yourself and bring yourself fully into the present moment. O equals observe. Observe what is going on with your body, what physical sensations are you aware of, your emotions, what are you feeling right now, and your mind. What assumptions are you making about your feelings? What is the story you're telling yourself about why you're having them? P equals proceed. Proceed with whatever you're doing, make a conscious and intentional choice to incorporate what you've just learned. Next time, you're going to get to find out how living your best life is only a hop, skip and a jump away. This is Dr. Bumi. For more information, go to thefoodaddictioncoach.co.uk.
Thank you, Bumi. And there'll be another one same time next week. You've been listening to Jenny Lee Grace on the Natural Health and Sobriety Show. See you next time. You've been listening to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio.